Small Biz America.
The Brain.
So Romana Mitra's worked in technology, she's worked in consumer fashion, diverse background. She's founded three companies in her life and she's served many others as a strategic consultant. She's a contributor to the Wall Street Journal, she writes a weekly column for Forbes, and her strategy blob is syndicated in Seeking Alpha, Yahoo, Yahoo Finance, ReadWriteWeb, Cadwire, Amerjic, GigaOM, TheStreet.com, and many others. Today's Romana is on a mission to encourage entrepreneurship at all levels. She says that we need to create jobs and that jobs are created by entrepreneurs. And that on a global scale, we need to really move the needle on entrepreneurship. As part of this effort, she's recently written a book entitled Entrepreneur Journeys. Joining us on the line from Silicon Valley to tell us more is Romana Mitra, author, speaker, blogger, and thought leader. Romana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dave.
Before we get to the book, I did want to learn a little bit more about Web 3.0. I mean, many of us are still getting acquainted with Web 2.0, and along comes 3. What is Web 3.0?
Well, you know, definitions of Web 3.0 varies. My definition is that the web is verticalizing in a big way. So for every piece of the web, there are intense vertical context-specific experiences developing. And my thesis is, as we go along, it's going to get more and more personalized. So my thesis of Web 3.0 is around a much more personalized, much richer user experience by vertical.
It's interesting that you use the vertical as a visual. Chris Anderson calls it, I think, the long tail. Is it kind of the same or a little bit different?
Well, what he calls the long tail are the different different interest areas that are, you know, niche areas. What I call verticals doesn't have to be the smaller niches, which is what Chris's definition amounts to. I think the big niches such as travel, jobs, fashion, shopping, all these are verticals, and they're large verticals, they're not necessarily small niches. But there are also small verticals, but in the general definition of Web 3.0, in my opinion, is the richer experience by vertical.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's talk about entrepreneurship. What do people not really know about, you know, what it really means to be an entrepreneur?
Well, I think there are very positive sides to being an entrepreneur, and there are some, you know, very stressful sides to being an entrepreneur. So what do people really not know? I think what people should know is that there is not one way to be an entrepreneur. There are many different ways in which you can be an entrepreneur. There are the, you know, very highly funded venture capital type entrepreneurs, and then there are entrepreneurs who do it on a shoestring and maintain control over their companies, and they don't have to report to other people. They're kind of their own boss, and some people like to do it that way. So there are, I guess the term entrepreneurship is an umbrella term, but within that there are many different ways of doing entrepreneurship. And I think, you know, increasingly as I'm talking to more and more people, I see that there is this misconception in America that entrepreneurship means that you have to go and raise money. Well, no, you know, in fact, if you raise money, you give away control and you introduce other people who have a say in your life. And if you do entrepreneurship without external financing, there are some positives in that equation, and I strongly encourage entrepreneurs to evaluate all those different trade-offs in deciding which way they want to go.
In the broad sense, the internet has been a facilitator for new entrepreneurship here in the States and certainly abroad. We have a dislocation of the employer-employee model, most evidenced in the loss of tens and tens and tens of thousands of jobs. This should naturally create a new desire and ability for people to have their own businesses. I mean, do you agree or do you see it that way? Or maybe better asked, how do you see the dislocation creating an entrepreneurial environment for us here?
I would like to see more people who are getting dislocated embrace entrepreneurship. I think, you know, part of what's going on in our economy right now and in our you know, social psyche, I would say, is a fear psychosis. And fear is not a great place from which to operate, and it's not a great place from which to be an entrepreneur or do something new. So I think fear is holding a lot of people back. A lot of people are kind of sitting around and waiting. And my message to these people is that there is no point in waiting. If you have been dislocated, if you've lost a job, it's a good time to start thinking about what can you do from an entrepreneurial point of view. Look for the entrepreneur in you and see what comes up. See what might be a direction that you may want to take. You know, what's your passion, what's your expertise, and what are the entrepreneurial opportunities related to those issues, and what are the market opportunities?
It's really, in some ways, an intersection between your passion and the market opportunities. Do you agree and see it that way?
I fully agree with that. It actually needs to be something that you're passionate about. Otherwise, entrepreneurship is so much work. It's just not viable, you know, to carry on with that kind of work and that kind of commitment with something that you're not passionate about.
I just wanted to hit on the industrial side of the equation here in the States. I think of the auto worker who's generations and generations of family working in this factory process environment that's very specifically what it is. It's the life of an employee. How can someone like that psychically move from where they've been and where in their blood for years into a world where they're more independent, they have different types of control, and to then turn inward and look for their passion in that intersection?
I would suggest read. You know, there is a tremendous amount of entrepreneurship literature out there. There are great, you know, role models. In my books, what I'm trying to do is provide role models. At the same time, the mechanics and the strategy of, being an early stage entrepreneur. So you, from an inspiration point of view, from a psychological boost point of view, you seek out those role models. You read about positive experiences of people who have made the journey into entrepreneurship. And also, I think you start adjusting your mental set to some extent by doing that, because, I think this could be, if you are waiting for a job to come to you, this could be a very long wait.
Yes. We're visiting with Sramana Mitra. Her book is Entrepreneur Journeys. Sramana, tell us about how the book is structured and what you really hope the reader to come away with.
The volume one of this book, which is out currently, is a set of 12 stories of 12 entrepreneurs who have traveled the path of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. In the first section of the book, you have two stories of entrepreneurs who have bootstrapped, who have done their companies with no external financing. And I started off the book just to, you know, encourage entrepreneurs to really consider bootstrapping as, you know, a primary method of entrepreneurship, because the capital is drying up right now. There is a squeeze in the air, choke up almost in the credit market. There is a pretty bad scenario in the equity market. So my recommendation is to not wait for outside capital. Just launch on your own with your own, sweat equity, so to speak, and see what you can do with a shoestring budget. And amazingly, there is a lot you can do with a shoestring budget. So my first section of the book that's out right now, Volume 1 of Entrepreneur Journeys, is focused towards that genre of entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Then I have another set of stories that address different flavors of entrepreneurship, like taking on giants. I have three stories of companies that are taking on Google. I have a couple of stories of companies that are disrupting the business models within their industries. There are a couple of stories of companies that are meeting market needs that are unmet today, with these other white spaces. So if you are looking for ways in which you can identify white spaces in markets, these are good examples, good case studies to learn from. And then the final section of the book is called Planet Scale Problems, and that deals with entrepreneurs who are operating in problem domains that are, really large problems, like water, like education, like microfinance.
Yeah, transformational businesses, maybe to a slightly higher degree. I have in front of me some testimonials from the book that I'd like to share from a student, Tong Chen. We would have lost her to a career in finance, according to what I have here. She says, "Entrepreneur Journeys condenses the aspirations of a dozen entrepreneurs and presents them in such clear and intriguing ways that everyone, even those with no background in business or entrepreneurship, can learn a great deal. She never thought about entrepreneurship or founding her own company and opened the book with a sense of curiosity and even defiance." So you really changed this student's perception of what it means to be an entrepreneur vis-a-vis a vision that they had for themselves to be an employee.
Yes, you know, not only that, I think this is one thing that I would really like to see happen at a much wider scale. We have lost a tremendous number of very bright, very promising, very talented people to finance, you know, people who have had backgrounds in science and technology. I mean, why would a, you know, high-potential MIT computer science major think about going into finance? That's really a loss to the technology discipline. And then they go to finance and go do, you know, all sorts of complicated derivatives and so forth and so on, and now we have this financial crisis upon us. So my message is twofold. Not only that I want people who are considering being employees to start also considering entrepreneurship, but also I'm very keen on people who have training, you know, very high caliber training in science and technology to also pursue the right of science and technology entrepreneurship as opposed to going into finance.
Professor Hazeltine from Brown says, "Enjoyed Entrepreneur Journeys and found it worthwhile. The stories are inspiring and could have a significant influence on a student of entrepreneurship or an aspiring entrepreneur." Wow, that's huge.
Yes.
You're moving some mountains.
What Professor Hazeltine actually points out is an interesting point of view. Mostly, you know, business books have been written from the perspective of people preaching, you know, people preaching without context. And what I've tried to do is really tell the story of the entrepreneurs in their own voice. I have tried my absolute best to not encumber the entrepreneur's voice and really extract the entrepreneur's journey, you know. When you think about being an entrepreneur, when you're trying to navigate your way in the entrepreneurial world, what has helped me tremendously is actually talking to people who are, you know, a few steps ahead of me or people who have been entrepreneurs and tell me, share with me their personal experiences, and specifically in making decisions, in defining strategy, in moving, you know, to the next step, you know, building block by block by block. And if you read the book, it's very much that spirit and that energy of, like, you know, maybe sitting and having a coffee with an experienced entrepreneur, with them telling you what they have done to tackle their challenges in your stage of the game.
Absolutely.
And that's working. I think that's something that readers are finding very valuable.
The sharing of those stories in their own words with transparency has so much value because there's an emotional connection that you could never make without
it. Exactly right, emotional connection.
I was curious, in the next generation, you know, as we see some of the larger sort of manufacturing models dismantling, do you see a world where we have smaller, more quote-unquote entrepreneurial companies and less of very large organizations in any way? Or how do you see the relationship of smaller and micro organizations to the large players? Does the population shift here?
Well, you know, I think the population shift is not going to happen on its own. It's going to require some very astute policy making to make, you know, to help America come out of this mess. And I think, you know, the economy that would make me feel a lot more comfortable is if I see, you know, a million businesses that are $10 million a year each, as opposed to, you know, a handful of businesses that are, you know, $50 billion or $100 billion, which is, you know, this whole notion of these companies are too big to fail and therefore we despite their bad behavior, irresponsible behavior, we have to bail them out, this doesn't feel very comfortable to me. I would like to see a more, spread out risk structure. And for that to happen, the government really needs to define policy that encourages and fosters entrepreneurship at a grand scale right now. Grand scale, absolutely.
Oh, this is wonderful work you're doing. What else are you working on? You just finished this amazing book. What else are you doing? Tell us.
I'm actually trying to finish up more volumes of this series. You know, Entrepreneur Journeys is a series. So the second book actually is called Bootstrapping Weapon for Mass Reconstruction, which I've almost finished writing. That comes out in May. And then I'm doing a third volume on positioning and how to validate your business idea and how to bring your business idea to market. And that also I'm going to try to get out, this summer, hopefully. You know, I feel like right now there's really a need to equip and tool entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs, early entrepreneurs with as much ammunition as possible, both from a knowledge and education point of view, from an inspiration point of view, as well as from a policy point of view. So if you read my writings, both on my blog and my weekly column on Forbes, I am writing column after column on to address all of those issues, including the policy issues. So I've made some very specific policy recommendations on how to foster entrepreneurship through tax programs and how to structure a tax policy that really helps early-stage entrepreneurship. So those are things I'm doing, and I also have a very, very significant consulting practice. So that's another thing that takes up a huge amount of my time.
You have a full plate. And folks, that column is in Forbes.com. Sramana Mitra has been our guest. The website, www.sramanamitra, that's SramanaMitra.com, posted here at smallbizamerica.com with this post as well. Sramana, a delight and a privilege to have you. Thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Small Biz America. The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.